T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. It's vacation time for football writers, Albert. You on vacation right now?
Yeah, I'm on Nantucket. How are you guys holding up there?
We're doing all right.
Fine. I wish I was on Nantucket.
Yeah, I will say this. I've been trying to get every piece of content I could possibly get over the last few days on LeBron and the Lakers and everything else. And you guys did a heck of a job with that round table. I don't know whose idea that was, but I've listened to a couple of them. When I've had a chance here on vacation. And, yeah, maybe it's just that I really like inside journalism stuff too, but really, really good job by all of you guys.
Thanks, Albert.
Thanks, man.
It was a great day. We really enjoyed it as you know, doing it. And obviously the reaction
was great.
It's like
therapy for you guys, right?
What's that?
It's like therapy for you guys, right?
Yeah.
It's funny. It really did feel like kind of like a funeral where you get some closure.
Yeah.
And, you know, we celebrated. We talked about some of the good times and – yeah, you sort of came to grips with the fact that LeBron's gone. He's probably not coming back again, and you got a feel for, like, what happened and why it happened. And so, yeah, you're right. I got the sense from a lot of fans that they feel like after listening to those three hours, even though it was, like, tough at times and you were kind of emotional, like, yeah, you come to grips with it and you accept it.
Yeah, just be happy that you got a championship out of it. I still remember before Boston had the ridiculous run of success, and no one remembers this now, but how pathetic a sports town Boston was back then. Ray Bourque, who had been probably second behind Bobby Orr among all the hockey players to ever play for the Bruins, he was traded to the Colorado Avalanche. I think it was 99 or 2000, and Boston hadn't won the championship since the 86 Celtics. And so he winds up, and they come close a bunch of times. It was obviously when he left, it was a really big deal. And he goes to the Avalanche and wins the championship, I think in his first or second year there. And they actually threw a parade for him after that, or a rally or something like that. That would never happen now with all the championships the city's won. But I sort of thought about that when I was listening to it, because it's like, you know, at least you have a championship, you know, and I feel like I sort of like remembered that and like what it was like when the guy left without a championship and then won one somewhere else. So, I mean, that 16 season, I guess, is something that nobody could ever take away.
And people must be excited in Boston, because certainly LeBron going to the West opens the door to make the Celtics the favorite. And they might have been the favorite even if LeBron had stayed, but they're clearly the favorites now. And with the Red Sox playing great, and obviously the Patriots good as long as Brady's there, good time to be in Boston.
Yeah. And you know what? The Celtics thing is going to be interesting, because they really kind of profited off of the beginning of the Cavs coming undone last year with the Kyrie trade. We'll see whether or not he stays in Boston past this year. I know a lot of people are nervous about that, but I just, you never think that anybody will come close to earning the kind of trust that Belichick has, in this region. But Danny Ainge is getting really close, with some of the stuff that he's done. So, it's hard to believe how long all of these teams have been really, really good here.
Albert Breer's our guest. He's, of course, from the MMQB. Albert, the Browns opened training camp in 20 days. It's crazy. I mean, it's going to be here before you know it. And we've been so, like, locked into LeBron watch and everything that this is going to sneak up on us real quick here. Not a whole lot of headlines from the Browns or even the league right now. It's kind of a quiet time. This is good for you. You have a little bit of downtime, but this is going to pick up here like real quick in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. And, every year when I get home from vacation, there's that little bump where like you get the franchise tag deadline, which is, I think, was a week from Monday. And so then we'll find out whether or not LaMarcus Joyner and DeMarcus Lawrence and Le'Veon Bell and all those guys get deals. And Ziggy Ansah is the other one. And then, everything ramps up right after that. So it's going to be interesting. You know, you've got more storylines kind of hanging out there than I could ever remember in the past, because of all the guys that held out at minicamp. That's your Julio Jones, your Earl Thomas, your Aaron Donald, your Khalil Mack. So that's going to be a big storyline going into the end of the month, is whether or not there's really been a sea change in the way that the players are handling the contract situations, and whether or not guys are willing to give up $40,000 a day, to make a point as far as the contract situations go. So it'll be interesting.
Speaking of, kind of like contracts, yeah. Peter King, no longer with MMQB, Albert. What's that like? Is it?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, yeah. I look, it's, you know, over the last 5-6 weeks, doing the column, and I'm kind of still getting my feet wet doing it.
Yeah.
And I've been doing some version of it for a while. You feel it. I mean, there's big shoes to fill here. And, Peter was so great to me. I was aware of everything the whole time. And, going back to 2 years ago, I knew this was a possibility. And that sort of thing excited me, the fact that we could really build something going forward. And I'm excited about that part of it, that, there's so much of the NFL that I feel like, it's about as heavily covered a sport as there is. I don't know if it's as well covered a sport as there is. And so I'm excited to see where this all goes. And, I can't say enough good things about all the stuff that I learned from Peter the last couple of years and the experience I had working alongside him. I've been lucky to work with a lot of people that I either read and watched growing up. All the guys at the Globe, Bob Ryan, Dan Shaughnessy, Rich Eisen at NFL Network, and Peter's right up there with all of them. So, I'm excited about the future and where we're going and the chance we got with the team that he put together.
Albert, what's the latest with Andrew Luck? I feel like we hear that he's, throwing footballs, high school balls or whatever. Like, is he ever going to get back to being able to play and back to the level that he once was?
That's the biggest question, Dustin. I will say this. It's really hard to trust everything you hear based on what happened last year, in that I think there were four different points where you could look at it and you could say there was a legitimate setback. They said he was going to be ready for day one of training camp. He wasn't. They said he was going to be ready for week one. He wasn't. They said he was going to be back within the first 6 weeks of the season. He wasn't. And then they got him throwing again in October and then shut him down. And so that's four distinct, kind of milestones there in his recovery where he was set back. That said, he's further along in his rehab than he was at any point last year. Now, the biggest question is the one you just asked us, and which is, what percentage of Andrew Luck are we going to get when he comes back? Assuming that there's not another setback and assuming that he's back going in full contact situations in training camp and able to take hits, are we going to get 70%? Are we going to get 80%? Are we going to get 90% of Luck? That's the biggest question. I know the plan.
Albert?
We know Albert's in Nantucket.
Yeah,
and
he might be a little in and out.
He gave us the heads up. He may have a little sketchy signal there. Albert?
Trying to shorten the learning curve.
There we go.
Before I'm going back, the question then becomes, what percentage of Luck we're going to get.
Albert, we literally heard none of that question.
We heard some of it, or
the answer. And as you were talking, I was like, yeah, Albert told us he's in Nantucket and his service is not
great.
We
lost him for 10 seconds.
And you didn't
We actually just drove into town, so I'm okay.
But the funny thing is you didn't even hear me say that, and you just kept going.
I didn't hear you say it at all, no. I mean, here's the thing. Like, what we know right now is that the recovery is further along than it was at any point last year, and we know that they're going to pace him in camp. So he's going to get days off, and they're going to do things to try to simulate a regular season schedule as best they can. That's what we know. What we don't know right now is whether or not we're going to get 100% of Andrew Luck. If we do, that's a game changer. I think the entire complexion of the AFC changes.
Yeah.
If Luck is what he was a few years ago, there's just no way of knowing. I don't think the Colts even know. Even if everything goes according to plan over the next 3 or 4 months, whether or not they're going to wind up getting 100% of what Andrew Luck was back on the field again.
Albert, any truth to the rumor that the league was only going to suspend Jameis Winston for 2 games, but because they were playing the Steelers in week 3 and the league always cheats for the Steelers, that they extended the suspension to 3 games?
I hadn't heard that one. I was actually thinking when you were asking the question. I've been a little off the grid the last couple weeks But when I was thinking when you were asking the question whether or not they wanted to avoid the Winston Roethlisberger storyline there, that would have been a good one too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it would have been, certainly.
I mean, the biggest thing I take from the Winston situation is how important cooperation is for the league. You know, ever since they have tried to become kind of their own Bureau of Investigations, which, you know, is kind of a result of the Hardy, Peterson, Rice year, you know, ever since they sort of tried to take all of that stuff in-house, cooperation has kind of become the most important thing for a lot of these players because they don't have subpoena power. It's not like they can just haul whoever they want in and get whoever they want to cooperate. So, you know, they have to use their leverage to force players to cooperate in these situations. And we've seen the other side of this. Brady got dinged because he didn't cooperate. And, you know, this is the flip side of it where, you know, right or wrong, Jameis cooperates and he gets a little bit of leniency.
Hey, one other note, another suspension is Julian Edelman. You know, he's appealed that.
Appeal got turned down.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So he's suspended for 4 games. Why do guys even appeal these things? I mean, like, if obviously he took something, right?
Yeah, there was a paperwork issue. What I'd reported previously was that the substance wasn't immediately recognizable. I know the union had scientists come back and look at it again, they went deep into this. I mean, Julian hired like a real lawyer, which tells you he thought he had a shot. And then they get to the appeal hearing and the basis of their argument was based on paperwork. And so I think there was a point where Julian really thought I have a case here. And then, you know, after they had some experts look at it, it seems like maybe they had a little bit less of a case. I'm not going to tell you there's a 0% chance he takes this thing to court, but I just can't imagine you're going to win in a case like that over paperwork. If there was something wrong with the science, that'd be one thing, you know, but it's just a paperwork issue. I have a hard time seeing him take this to federal court, so I think that one's over.
Albert, we've been talking football with you now for 7 years, and the seven
That's
years
crazy.
You've become... Yeah, it is amazing. Yeah, the seven-year anniversary of the show is August 29th. But in those years, there's been a lot of false optimism from Homer fans for the Browns.
Yep.
But I feel like now, even though I'm not convinced the Browns are going to be that good this year, I feel like there is real reason for optimism, even if not for this year, for the future. Now, if Baker Mayfield doesn't pan out, then that could all go away. But there's I sense real optimism, and I think there's some legitimacy in it for the first time in a long time. Do you?
Yeah, and they've got horses now. I mean, you look at their linebackers, right? I mean, I was looking at it when they signed Michael Kendricks, and that adds to a group that has Collins and Kirksey and Schobert up front. You know, they've got a good crew of defensive tackles and Miles Garrett and Emmanuel Ogba on the outside. They draft Denzel Ward. So they've got talent on every level in their defense. Offensively, losing Joe Thomas hurts, but that line's been a strength for a while, even when they've been bad. And then you look at Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry on the outside, Joku at tight end. I mean, it's just, you look at it, like, it's almost like you look at their roster and there's not a position that's hopeless. Do you guys feel that way?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's almost like there's not a position on that roster right now where you can say, God, they're up a creek, which is a really good position to be in.
I think the only, Albert, sorry to cut you, I think my biggest concern is probably some depth in a few areas, and left tackle is a big concern.
Yeah,
right,
left tackle is a big concern.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. But I mean, man, I just tell you, like, you know, Dustin and I were actually texting about this earlier and how different football and basketball are. And Dustin, you can kind of correct me here if I'm wrong about the point I was trying to make. But I thought, like, you know, it's interesting looking at the NBA versus the NFL because, you know, the NBA is so superstar driven, and the NFL is more about, like, the accumulation of good players. And we were talking about the Eagles and how, I mean, do they have a legit superstar on their team, Fletcher Cox? They've got a lot of really good players, but I don't know if they've got legit superstars. And that's almost what it's more about. And it's always been the teams that have balanced rosters are usually the ones that are in the best shape in the end. And the Browns look like they're building a lot of balance into their roster, which is great. And, you know, what's interesting about it, too, is you've kind of created a sense of urgency. And this wasn't intentional, but you create a sense of urgency when you've got a coach who's playing for, you know, his his career, and you've got a quarterback who's playing for his career, right? Like, Hugh Jackson's playing for his coaching for his job, and I'd say, you know, Tyrod Taylor is playing for, you know, his existence as a starting quarterback in the NFL this year.
Yep.
And so you've got some real urgency at some key spots, and you've got balance across the roster. And so, I mean, look, I was telling you guys last year they were going to be 6-10 or 7-9, and I couldn't have been more wrong about that. But, you know, I do think that there's real reason for optimism and real reason why all this building that they've been doing the last few years could pay the dividends.
All right, Albert, good stuff. What about the Buckeyes? How about, I was saying this to Dustin, he was disagreeing with me. The Buckeyes over-under is 9.5. That seems ridiculous. I don't see how they lose three regular season games. You?
I don't think they do either.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've got, I just put it that, like, I love JT as a leader and what he meant to the program and everything else. I honestly think, if you go back and watch the Michigan game, watch what happened when Dwayne Haskins came in that game, and watch how it looked like a lot of the talent that they have at receivers was suddenly being unlocked. You know, I think Haskins could wind up being a major upgraded quarterback, and if they've all of a sudden got like a first round pick at quarterback, which I know internally they feel like that the talent's there for Dwayne Haskins to become that, I look out. I think it unlocks a lot of things that maybe they were struggling to find a little bit over the last couple of years.
All right, Albert, great stuff, man. We'll be talking to you more regularly soon. Thanks for joining us.
Go have a cocktail, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See Albert you, Breer, MMQB, is with us during the season every Wednesday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.